Welcoming back to the program, journalist, author, and University of Maine historian, Michael Sokolow. Michael, thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Rich.
It is, it's an interesting day in America, but I have said, to me, not an unexpected day.
Yes. I'm actually, one aspect of it that I'm very interested in is how journalists are going to be able to frame this, because of, I don't think American journalism really is structured in a way to make this conceivable. You know what I'm saying?
I do, absolutely. We're used to reporting on this happening in other countries, not our own.
Well, how do we apply any kind of standard of objectivity, neutrality, independence? I mean, when you see your U.S. Capital being literally invaded, this is an invasion. This is an attack on the Capitol building. Balance and fairness aren't what we need right now from journalism. We need it to be labeled accurately for what it is.
Well, and is that even tougher in an age when, as we've talked about on the show a number of times, the lines between news and commentary are often blurred?
Exactly. And we're going to see, I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen anything excusing it? We're going to see, I think the excuses are going to be there weren't that many people. It wasn't that violent. We're going to start seeing some very strange stuff.
I've seen some individual comments on social media. I will say I did tune in very briefly earlier in the afternoon to Fox News, and they were, of course, it was Chris Wallace, who I think is more of a straight journalist, and they were condemning this, and they were calling on the president to be more forceful in his condemnation of it. And I think that's the only way you can approach this. But I'm sure the longer it goes, there will be people who will compare this to other protests and say it wasn't that violent, and they'll find ways to make excuses for this.
Well, the thing that gets me, and I tweeted about this, they were outdoors flying Trump signs, Trump flags, very clearly, very unmistakably. And, I mean, I think these videos and these images of people flying Trump flags and invading the U.S. Capitol should be the visual memory of the Trump administration. I think today is the most historic political moment of the Trump administration. I mean, I think COVID-19 is the biggest story this year, but this needs to be the memory of this administration, and the Democrats need in 2022 to show us these images again, and in 2024.
Well, and Trump has already, in a sense, divided the Republican Party, but now I would think would be a time for them to unify whenever the House and Senate are able to reconvene. It would seem logical to me that once they certify President Biden, they would take some action against President Trump, whether it's something as simple as a censure or an immediate thumbs up, thumbs down to impeach him, convict, and remove him, because I'm not sure the country can survive two more weeks of this.
Except I heard you and Senator Baldacci discussing that at the end of the last hour, that kind of thing. And my question, listening to you two talk about it, was who do you think has the moral authority to actually say that? I think Mitt Romney does, but I can't, when you were talking about it with Senator Baldacci, I could not figure out who would be the person. And I'm asking you, Rich.
Who would have the authority or the moral courage to say that?
Both. I mean, obviously, Mitch McConnell and the minority leader in the House, the Republican, would be the ones who have to say it. But I don't think they have. Do you think they have the courage to do what you just described?
No, I don't. And I think that's clearly the problem here. Although, if there were ever a time to do it, what more does it take when an insurrection is encouraged, supported, and fortified by the President of the United States? If Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, the rest of them won't stand up to that, then it's over. There's no point in going on, and we might as well give Trump the election and just make it a dictatorship now.
Well, that's a second question, and this is an interesting thing that I'm curious, because you teach civics, Rich, and you know this, and this is going to go into the textbooks in the future. I think it's extremely important to get the Biden electorally certified very soon. Like, I think they've got to clear it, and I think they've got to have the vote. They've got to move forward on it. Because if they can get one day delay on this, then this madness has accomplished something. It hasn't accomplished much, but it's accomplished something terrible from a historical perspective. Like, I think the actual certification of the vote now has become much more important in terms of timing than it was just 5 hours ago.
Well, and the other thing, Michael, going forward is that the template is here now for a dictatorship, for an authoritarian regime. And the only thing that really has prevented it from happening is that the Democrats happen to control one branch of Congress right now. And I would say this for both parties, although one is clearly more prone to it than another. But going forward, what's to stop a party that controls both houses in the future from simply denying the results of a free election and saying, no, we disagree?
And I'm glad you said parties. That's really important, because to lay this all at Trump, who's obviously the biggest mover, I think is a mistake. I think I heard some of McConnell's speech about this being the most important vote in his 36 years in the Senate. Did you catch any of that?
I did, and he was absolutely right.
But no, I think that was a tremendous mistake. This is not a hard vote. He won. The votes are certified. There's no, I mean, it's a party for laughing about it, but how is it a difficult vote when what was supposed to occur in that chamber today was literally the unsealing of certificates and the counting of numbers?
Well, did he say, Michael, did he say difficult or important?
Oh, you know what? Thank you. Good correction. Good correction.
And I may have heard it wrong. I thought he said important, and I agree. But if he said difficult, then it is worthy of laughter.
Yeah. No, even as important, this was not a close election. The entire fiction that of the robbery and everything is based on a fiction that this was a close election. It was not. It was never a close election. Biden has more electoral votes than Trump did in 2016. Biden's victory over an incumbent is unmatched since FDR over Hoover in 1932. This madness is because somebody has been out there convincing people this was a close election. And that is just, here's where I say it's party, not Trump. Trump is obviously the prime mover, but McConnell saying that this is any kind of important or difficult vote, literally, they were opening up envelopes and counting numbers today, certified numbers.
Well, and I had people point out to me on social media that, oh, the Democrats protested 4 years ago. Yes, they did. And you know what happened 4 years ago? Joe Biden, who was presiding over that session, tossed aside every objection and said on every single occasion, it's over.
It's monstrous. It really is. It's monstrous. Is my take on it. The one thing I will say is there's two ways this can go. Like you said, this can be a model for future potential dictators, but this can also be an instructive lesson, you know, about how close we came and what we can do about it. You know, in other cases in American history, when FDR was elected four times, it was decided that, you know what, that could be a recipe for totalitarianism. It just so happens that FDR wasn't an authoritarian, but somebody could come in and do it. So we passed the amendment to only allow two consecutive terms. You know, we can learn from this, which is what I really hope happens. Mm.
What about in terms of spreading misinformation, disinformation, conspiracy theories? I talked about it with Joe, and I've been pretty vocal about my desire to see some semblance of the fairness doctrine return. How much of this is at the feet of biased media and certainly social media?
Well, I think we have to be really careful about that. Yes, I think the media infrastructures are there to transmit the message. But Fox News called, let's be clear, Fox News called this a Biden victory. And the number of people who watch OAN and One America and Newsmax is minuscule. And the spread of misinformation, and let's be clear, the number of people in Washington, D.C. right now doing this protest is not large.
No.
By any number. So my take on that is that I cannot understand how middle America can see these images and not be scandalized. In other words, this is a tremendous opportunity for the Democrats in 2022 and 2024. We can't let these images disappear. We can't, especially, I don't know if you've seen the image of the guy sitting in the chair of the speaker of the Senate Majority Leader.
Yes, I did.
President. That image needs to be burned in people's minds. I want to see that on page A1, above the fold, half the page, you know, 16-point type tomorrow morning. We have to remember that.
I agree with you completely. Michael Sokolow, appreciate you making some time for us at short notice here this afternoon on an interesting day, one we'll long remember in America. Michael, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich.